Welcome to the Not All Love and Light podcast with your host, Romy Moreno.
Today, I want to welcome Michelle Johnson. She is an empowerment coach and a motivational speaker. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here today.
You're welcome. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, what you do, and your story? How'd you get here?
Yeah, it's been quite the journey, not gonna lie. So I am an empowerment coach and I work mostly with women who are entering the rediscovery phase of life and on into their midlife awakening. So I support them in that process of discovering who they are, getting curious about life again, and really finding that fulfillment and purpose that they've been looking for. As a speaker, I speak about smashing through societal expectations and embracing our imperfections and really living a life of self-love and authenticity. And truly, my journey has, through all those things, all those phases, have led me to this point in my life where I'm at. So a little bit about me is that I was raised in a very strict religious ideology of what the perfect woman, wife, mother should be. And I grew up with these ideas and expectations of what my purpose was. And I genuinely felt like my purpose was to be a wife and a mother. So when I got to my 20s, my young 20s, about 21 years old, I started thinking, okay, I need to start looking for a young man to settle down with. And this is my timeline. And I did that. I got married and had my first of four children at 23 years old. And I dove headfirst into those roles of being a wife and a mom. I didn't realize at the time that I had such crazy expectations, because to me, it was like it just came natural to me. But I had been looking at these women who had been mentors and teachers throughout my life and my own mother, and I felt like I had to be a certain way. I had to exude a level of perfectionism, and that's what I strove for. And, you know, in essence, I was trying to be Martha Stewart on steroids. Yeah. And it just was not happening for me. So I got caught up in this cycle of being very critical of myself, which turned into feeling like a failure, a loss of self-worth, and depression. And then I'd have meltdowns in the home. And then I'm like, I'm going fucking crazy. And I go to therapy and feel better. And then the cycle would just start all over again. So it wasn't until my youngest kiddo went off to preschool, which is a huge milestone in any mother's life, to all of a sudden have time back to herself. And, you know, I did my usual pick up the house and whatnot. And then I found myself kind of pacing around the house. And this is when I had my oh shit moment, where I was like, okay, what do I do now? Because I didn't have any hobbies. I didn't have any interests outside of play dates and crafts and, you know, all the mom stuff, meal prepping. And I realized in that moment that I didn't know who I was anymore. I completely lost sight of who I thought I was before I became a mother, and I didn't know where to begin. And that was a really big pivotal moment in my life. It really forced me to strip down everything to try and get to the root of, like, okay, well, where do I even start? I'm starting at ground zero. I realized I had somehow ended up at the bottom of the totem pole. I wasn't taking care of myself, so therefore no one else was taking care of me either. Really, when I dug really deep, realized that I didn't even like myself. Because I had been so critical all those years, I realized I didn't even forget about loving myself. I didn't even like who I was.
Right.
And so that was my aha moment. And okay, now what do I do with myself? And that's what started my own rediscovery journey that has led me where I am today.
Yeah, I feel it's so important. And a lot of women don't even realize it. Until the question is brought up of, who are you when you're not in these roles? What do you like to do? God forbid something happens that you no longer have a family tomorrow. What are you left with? Right. And a lot of women don't truly dig into that until somebody either triggers the question or something happens, like in your case, where you're home and you're like, okay, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? Because everything is done. Now what? I'm just so bored. But it was so instilled in you and you were conditioned and it was so normalized that this is the way that it's supposed to be. Right. And I feel also like as the generations change, things change. Right. So like maybe your mom did it, but she was completely fine with it and always found something to do. Right.
Yeah.
This generation is like a little bit different. There's so much that we feel like purpose driven, right? And we want to do things, even if we are stay-at-home moms or whatever the case may be, we want to find what our purpose is other than these roles that we're playing. It happened to me as well, where with my first son, he's 14, it was all about my husband and my son, and I worked from home. So cater to them, cook, clean, do everything. I had no hobbies. I didn't know who I was. I was miserable and angry, and I just didn't know why. And once I started going to yoga and then getting into that and working out and getting into that, and I started finding things outside of this identity that I had created and these expectations that I set on myself, which they don't always go away, because as a mom, even now, I'm sure you're like, am I a good mom? And then it comes in, right? Am I being a little too selfish, right? But being selfish is not selfish. It is so necessary in order for us to show up as the best version of ourselves for our kids, because a stressless mom, I mean, we're always going to have stress, but a mother that doesn't have the stress of everything being on you and having something that you look forward to that is all about you, whether it's knitting or whether it's going to a yoga class or some art or whatever, it gives you, it lights you up and it brings you this joy that your children could feel, and you're able to play with them without feeling almost like resentment, because there's a little bit of resentment that builds, and people don't talk about that enough. There's some resentment that builds, and it's not their fault and it's not your husband's fault. I mean, this is what you thought you wanted, right? So I know a lot of women go through this, that they're left with, okay, or their kids finally go off to college. Yours went to preschool. Some people don't, they wait until college and they're like, wow, I've been with my husband for 18 years and it hasn't just been us. So then like rekindling that relationship, if they're still together, right? We don't know who we are, which is so important too, as marrying somebody that you're actually friends with and that you actually like, not somebody that you just want to have in a family dynamic, right? Because once your children are off, this is the person you're going to spend all of your time with. Do you enjoy that? Are you guys friends?
And like, and when you have the young ones and you're in that chaos and you're just raising family, like I remember people saying date nights are so important. Make sure you make time for date nights. And oh my gosh, I'm just so tired. Or, oh, there's all, we always have to cancel because something comes up, some activity, some school thing, and it goes to the wayside. And you're like, okay, when they get older, we'll have more time. We'll have more time. But I can't stress enough how essential it is to have that interest and that time with your partner, and how important that is. And it just is, that goes back to that foundation of being friends and actually liking each other, because, you know, not only do you lose sight of who you are, but, you know, you lose sight of like what brought you two together to begin with. You know, we've been talking a lot about motherhood, and like you said, it happens to women in all walks of life, and you know, it, not just in motherhood, but professional women who have been so focused on their career and getting to this certain status and then hit midlife and are like, oh, wow, okay, well, I really wanted to get married and I wanted to have kids by this time, you know, now what? or people that just, you know, life just gets the best of them. I love how you said that you started implementing self-care practices like the yoga and the working out. And I ended up actually doing the same thing because that seemed like the most simplest way to start caring for myself. I was pre-diabetic at the time and had chronic hypertension as well. So I was like, okay, basic. Let's start taking care of yourself that way. And I started diving into the podcast that had this foundation of self-love and self-care and empowerment. And I started implementing like little suggestions that guests would give. And slowly but surely, I started to feel more aligned with myself, found that by taking care of myself, I felt more empowered, which brought in the self-love, and it just continued to grow as I implemented little itty-bitty habits that grew into bigger, more non-negotiable pieces, right? That finding what's going to be your non-negotiable, what's going to be that bit of happiness and joy that you do specifically for yourself, that your children, your family see, and which makes a huge impression on them too, and how they can handle their own lives.
It's very underrated that people don't realize how impactful small things are, because they're like, okay, I'm just going to change my life completely. This is what we're doing, yada, yada, yada. But it's the little things that you could incorporate into your life. That's not such a drastic change, because when it's such a drastic change, you cannot withhold doing that for too long before you give up. So doing these little things compound over time, just making the small adjustments here and there, where it compounds over time, where your habits start supporting each other versus, okay, I'm going to stop doing this, I'm going to stop doing this, and I'm going to all at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's just too much. So that's really, really important. One thing that I've realized, that this new generation, they're waiting longer to get married and have kids. And I think that that's the smartest thing, because think about it. We both had our kids, at our first kid at 23. What?
I know.
My prefrontal cortex wasn't even fully formed. Like, how can we really pick that person that's a great partner for us? I mean, it happens, but I feel that's more of the exception versus actuality, where, okay, is this person actually my friend that I want to be friends with in my retirement years, right? So to be instilled in that is just, because the thing is that marriage initially was for survival purposes. That was the reason why we got married all those years ago, right? Many women, men, and it was to survive, right? That's not the case anymore. We could survive on our own, but having that companionship and partnership, and having like a conscious partnership where it's a spiritual union, it's so greater. And it's just not this thing that you're just like, okay, 21, you don't even know who you are. You find that.
Yeah, exactly. My two older children are now 24 and 21, almost 22. And it was the biggest trip of my life to have my son turn 23 and be like, oh my gosh, I was like having you 23. I was giving birth 23 years ago. And like, see that is where he is at. And now my daughter is turning 22. And I, both of those children were raised in the religion that I was for the first half of their lives. And so watching them try and navigate the same belief system, and in there as they became young adults, and like now having kind of to like, I need to unprogram them and let them know like that's not the norm, like that's not how society is, and that if you find your person, fantastic, but that's not the timeline of life. Like, you're in charge of your own timeline. And so try and get rid of that, all that other stuff. Like, you need to be married and have like at least one kid by the time you're 25, or it's all over for you. You know, like it's not reality.
I mean, I feel you're such in a better mental place when you are in your late 29s maybe like 29, 30. I would say after your Saturn return. If you know anything about astrology, once you go through your Saturn return, maybe that's around a very good time where you could, you know, think about that. Yeah, my nephew is 27 years old. And he's like, I don't want to get married. And I don't want kids, you know, and wow, your age, I already had my first kid. I'm ready to have a second one, you know?
Yeah.
It's a good thing. I think it's a great thing to have this younger generation, what they're doing with the waiting and truly just not procreating just to, because there's a timeline or a belief that you're damaged if you don't. There's something wrong with you if you aren't. You're unwanted, you're unloved, because that those are the beliefs that are instilled. There's something wrong with the perfectionism that you spoke about. All of that. Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, I start with my discoveries, you know, like I started the working out and the taking care of myself, and which ended up, I ended up in the gym and really falling in love with the gym. And that became like my sanctuary and my happy place. And one thing led to another, and I started getting really curious about life and geez, what am I capable of? Because now all of a sudden I didn't have all these constraints holding me back. So I started what I like to call with my clients is a wouldn't it be cool if list. Wouldn't it be cool if I learned how to use that fancy camera I got for Christmas, you know, last year? Wouldn't it be cool if I did some aerial dance class, because Cirque du Soleil looks hella cool, you know? And so it's like all of a sudden the galaxy is like your limit, right? Like the world, you're seeing the world for the first time through a whole new set of eyes.
Hey, it's me, Romy. I want to share a moment with you. You know, we often talk about healing, growth, and doing the work on this podcast. But where do you start? When you're feeling overwhelmed by life's challenges, trapped in the past, worried about the future, or like you're constantly battling your own thoughts and emotions. Living in a reactive state versus response, passing up opportunities because of lack of confidence and fear, not knowing how to set boundaries with others, but most importantly with yourself. That's why I created my Healing the Root Cause program. It's for those out there feeling overwhelmed and yearning for change, connection, authenticity. Pretty much, you're tired of your own shit. Together, using my proven root framework, we'll recognize your triggers, overcome the past, operate with confidence, and transform your life. As I say, it's not all love and light, and this healing journey is about confronting the shadows and embracing the mess, but still loving yourself through it all. I'll be right there with you, guiding you on this journey, every raw moment, every breakthrough, every step of the way. So if you're feeling that tug and want to apply to work with me, fill out the application in the show notes, and we'll see if we're a good fit for each other and take it from there. Either way, I'm rooting for you.
That curiosity becomes really exciting and invigorating and empowering. And I ultimately, because I fell in love with fitness so much and taking care of myself, I thought, wouldn't it be kind of cool if I did a competition? And so I did that. I was like, okay, I'm going to do this competition. I kept it secret because I had become so protective of the energetic space that I had created for myself. And I didn't want any negativity or naysayers. And of course, all my friends had been in the church, so they didn't understand what the heck I was doing or why. So I kept it a secret. I did my competition. And I got on social media and I was like, okay, now I can share. So this happened over the weekend. And all of a sudden, I had tons of support. I had friends coming out of the woodwork. You're so inspiring. You know, how can I do this? Or, you know, all these things. And I had different sports and athletic companies sliding into my DMs. We want you to be an affiliate. And I was like, wow. This is incredible. And for the first time, I felt this desire to help support other women who had been caught in the same cycle that I had, support them to take care of themselves and fall in love with themselves and really embody that empowerment and self-love. So I did this competition. And a couple mornings afterwards, when the kids went to school, my husband says to me, Michelle, we need a chat. And I'm like, okay. sure. And he's like, I'm so proud of you. Such an amazing accomplishment. You're getting so much attention from it now. And I know that a lot of people are coming in your DMs. And he's like, I just want to know where I stand as your husband. What are you talking about? Like, everything's the same. The outside Michelle just changed, but the inside's the same. Long story short, what had been a really fantastic marriage, 17 years at that point, ended up turning into a marriage where it was full of control and insecurities and ultimately psychological abuse. I continue to do the work and I continue to hold, you know, the gym as my sanctuary and my non-negotiable piece. I finally had the day where I was faced with the decision, do I go back, drop everything I've been working for, go back to this place of complacency, really, go back to where I was so I can save the marriage? Or do I choose my happiness? Do I choose me? I chose me. It was extremely difficult and probably the darkest period of my life going through a divorce, you know, with someone who didn't want it, who fought me every step of the way, watching my children go through the trauma and the fights and, you know, all of that. And leaving the religion that I had been raised with. I had to leave the religion in order to do this. I share this bit because, you know, we talk about rediscovery and your awakening and, you know, it's all like so exciting and beautiful to come into your own, but it's really not all rainbows and butterflies. You know, as you well know, I'm sure that every time you make a big shift in your life or you up-level, there's always going to be resistance, whether it's friends, family, social media, the universe. I mean, the universe loves to throw little roadblocks because it helps your growth. It's all for your greater good, your higher self. But, you know, it's really important to talk about it not being just this wonderful, fantastic experience. There's so much growth and there's a lot of pain involved. You really have to stay so crystal clear on what your why is. Why are you doing this for yourself? Why is it so important to you?
So what you're saying is that it's not all love and light.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm a huge proponent for that. I mean, that's why the podcast is named that. Mm-hmm. Because where I've come from and everything that I've gone through, as hard as it's been, I knew that it was part of my journey. I'm able to help just like you are able to help the women that you could help because of what you've gone through. This is not something that you could learn from a book or from watching a video or taking a course, right? Mm-hmm. This is experience and understanding and building that empathy of, I totally understand because I am you.
Yeah.
Right? And it does get heavy and it does get difficult and it does get hard, but the rewards is unmatched.
Yeah.
I'm sure you absolutely not regret for one second the decision you made all those years ago.
Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. I mean, not only for myself, like the only time I ever really questioned it was when I was watching my children going through such heartache. And none of us want to hurt our children, right? And especially not on an emotional level. Now coming out the other side of it, it's been 7 years since I left the marriage and seeing how strong my children are, how secure they are in themselves, how they realize that they are worthy of happiness, of all the good things, and are willing to fight for that and not just settle. Amazing. And I'm like, okay, I had a little bit to do with that.
Yeah,
and it was worth it.
A lot to do. And I'm glad you brought that up because emotionally, they will get over it and they will heal. Mm-hmm. But what happens to them if you stay in an unhappy marriage could scar them for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You're teaching, you say you have a daughter and a son, you're teaching your daughter what role to play. You're teaching your daughter what a marriage looks like, how a man should treat you, how you should be in a relationship. And you're teaching your son what women put up with.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's how I see it. And that was because I had the same fears too, leaving my marriage. It wasn't a toxic relationship. It was just not, I just knew that it wasn't for me anymore. And I was terrified to tell my son. I was so terrified. He was 9, turning 10 at the time. I was like, I'm going to hurt them so bad.
Yeah.
But when we finally sat down and we told him, his response was like, well, that makes sense. You guys don't even act like you're in a relationship at that age.
Wow.
So that just goes to show that we were teaching him that even though, like, you could get along, but it doesn't, there's no physical affection. There's no, it's the dynamic, right? So as much as it could emotionally hurt your child will heal from that.
Mm-hmm.
What's important is these lessons that you are teaching them along the way, which I feel is more important.
Yeah. Trying to undo the ideas of what a relationship should look like is a lot more difficult than the healing of the little inner child and whatnot. And to be honest, you know, now that we're on the other side, like, you know, my kids have talked about it, and specifically my youngest, which was 9 years old at the time too, 8 years old at the time as well. And, you know, I remember seeing a little project he had done at school, and he was like, you know, even though it was scary and, you know, sad at the same time, all of a sudden the fighting stopped. All of a sudden the anger in the home wasn't there anymore. And that was like the best thing that came out of it. Yeah, they do. They're so resilient, children are. But that model of what a healthy relationship should look like is absolutely huge. And undoing that is incredibly difficult.
And it just goes to show our kids are always watching.
Mm-hmm.
Always watching. So we thought we were hiding it well, unintentionally, mm-hmm. now that we were forcing ourselves to hide it. But like I said, it wasn't toxic. It wasn't unhealthy. Yeah. We got along. We never, ever, ever fought. And especially if we had a disagreement, it was never in front of the kids. So it just, somebody looking would be like, why? That doesn't make sense. But my son was, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And I was like, well, this conversation did not go like I planned. I was a completely different reaction, but okay.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah. Okay. You're much wiser than I gave you credit for. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So women come to you whenever they're in that space where I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what my identity is.
Mm-hmm.
And you help them through that.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. They come to me when they're, in that oh shit phase, what do I do with my life now? And I really help guide them through. And if, kind of starting that discovery of who they are and that process, there's like with me, there is a lot of limiting beliefs that have to be broken down and broken through, with those expectations that you and I both had carried of how we should be. So really breaking through all that crap that we've carried and then kind of go forward with a clean slate. And it is quite the process. There's a lot of grieving involved of releasing your previous self and those ideas and forgiveness. And mostly for me, I found the forgiveness phase was forgiveness of myself, of my previous self. I felt like I wasted over half my life trying to be someone that I, you know, wasn't. And I had to give some forgiveness to myself because she only knew what she knew how to do and that's how to be. And then once you go through that, you that release, the sadness, the anger, the forgiveness, then you're able to really take that deep breath and clear slate and move forward, but so important to give yourself grace in the process. Because like I was saying, you're like a toddler, experience the world for the first time, and you don't know what your likes or dislikes are, what's going to work for you, what not, what feels good, what doesn't. And so you just got to move forward with some grace in experiencing life and discovering, you know, who you are, what feels aligned. Like we were saying, build those like little itty bitty habits that will start compounding, and you know, you're on your journey to feeling so fulfilled and finding what that sense of purpose in your life.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I mean, I went through the same journey mm-hmm. as well. And it was because of that, that I knew that I wanted to help other people that are going through it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one deserves to feel alone. No one deserves to feel that they don't deserve happiness or they're not worthy of happiness. We all are. And that's one of the really fantastic things about platforms like your podcast is now in this generation, women are finally stepping into their power and finding their voice and sharing with others. And, you know, nothing's taboo anymore. It doesn't have to be taboo because women have found their voice to share so that others don't have to suffer in silence and feel alone in their process. We don't have to do that anymore.
Listening to podcasts was also one of my big things on my personal development journey. Mm-hmm. So my hope is that my podcast does get to the individuals that need to hear certain things mm-hmm. in order for them to be able to make the decisions and take the actions that they need in order for them to truly live a life that they feel is theirs, not what someone else wanted for them or what other people expect of them. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what anybody mm-hmm. else wants or what anybody else thinks. Are you happy? Do you love this life that you created? I love my life. Mm-hmm. People could look at my life and be like, well, you know, you don't have this. Okay. But like, I'm so happy and I have so much peace that mm-hmm. I wouldn't trade that for anything. So if something cost me my peace or it cost me my happiness, it's not worth it. It's not
absolutely
worth it. So mm-hmm. to be able to be in that space where I don't jump into a relationship because I don't want to be alone and there's codependency versus no, I'm good by myself. And if somebody could compliment that, then that's great. Otherwise, mm-hmm. I'm good.
Yeah. And
versus back then when we're like, oh, but I have to be married and have kids by a certain age. So I'll just settle for this because this is what's here. This is what has arrived.
Yep, exactly. Isn't it a wonderful place to be when you can finally be like, I'm okay with being on my own? And it actually becomes like really exciting. Like, okay, I don't have to answer to anyone or have to run ideas. Like, if I want to do this, I can do this. I totally remember finally like getting to that place of being like, okay, I'm going to be okay. And this is actually really exciting. And I'm really excited to learn more about who I am. And it was a really fantastic place to be. And then, you know, 5 weeks later, this man drops into my life because that's how it works.
That's what everybody tells me. That's what happens in the next 5 weeks.
Yeah. Let's see. You better keep me posted. I swear, like everyone says that when you least expect, it's always when you're like, okay, I'm good with being alone. And then all of a sudden, the universe rocks your world again.
Well, now that you like being alone, now let's put this in front of you and see how much you really want to be alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you are remarried.
I am remarried. Yep, I am remarried, and my younger two are teenagers. I'm living my best life, really and honestly. And I'm so aligned with my journey and the path. And I have such a huge, tremendous trust in the universe. And one of my mottos through all the growth was the universe has my back. And I believe that so wholeheartedly. And it's amazing to have a partner now that oftentimes believes in me more than I believe in myself and, you know, always has my back too. And that undying support and that friendship, and we do stuff together, and there's affection in the marriage, and which was really weird for my children to experience to begin with, because there wasn't in my previous marriage. And, you know, like all the things when we were dating, we both had come out of really traumatic, toxic marriages, and we're like, we deserve our happily ever. And truly and honestly, I feel like, you know, we found that I found that. And I feel so blessed to be able to do this work and support other women in finding their purpose and, you know, getting to their happily ever after as well.
That's exciting. I mean, for me. For you too. I'm so happy for you. But that, you know, that I just, okay. So something just came up. There's a lot of times where we look at what other people have, and some people feel jealousy and they feel bad about themselves. Like, oh, I wish I had that. And that's that low vibrational, yeah, you know, place to be. But as to me, I'm just like, oh my God, like that's actually out there. I'm so excited. I can't wait.
Because you know it's coming, right?
Oh, I do. I do. I've actually have been feeling, I haven't really talked about this, but there's been moments where I actually feel that person's energy. Uh-huh. And back in March when I took a yoga class, there was like, I was doing a heart opener and I could actually feel their, like his heart with mine. Mm-hmm. And that after the class, I told my friend, I was like, this is wild, but I felt this man's energy, and mm-hmm. he's currently in his healing phase right now, and he's not ready to meet mm-hmm. me.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's so wild. I go, I felt his heart is wild.
Yeah.
So I know he's coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not in a rush because I really love, you know, having my own space and being alone. But I also know that anybody that is going to be in a relationship with me is going to accept that part of myself as well and allow me to have that space just as I expect mm-hmm. them to, because sometimes mm-hmm. people get into relationships and then it becomes all about the other person and they don't yeah. have individuality. Everything yeah. is together. You want to do everything together. And that's that codependency that I mm-hmm. anymore.
anymore.
Yeah. I wasn't there with that Libra South Node that I have. Yes. That's yeah. something that I did have to heal, but it's yeah. very important to me. The solo dates, yeah. the solo trips, the solo thing. So I know that my person, because I won't settle for anything less than that. But mm-hmm. I'm excited again for myself and happy for you.
Yeah, it's when you're so aligned with yourself and with the universe, like that's when you have experiences like that. Like, you know, you can feel it in your soul that it's coming to you. And it's all in divine timing, of course, but you know it's out there and you know it's coming. And that, oh my God, I just chills. It makes me so excited too. I'm so excited for you too.
Thank you. I'll message you immediately. Yeah. Immediately. But this has been amazing. Where can my audience find you?
The best way to contact me is on Instagram. My handle is Fiercely Authentic Coaching. Please slide into my DMs and say hello. I just love connecting with women and supporting any way that I possibly can. If you'd like me to speak at an event or conference, anything you have going on, you can find me at my website, michellejohnstonspeaks.com.
Awesome. Where are you located? I don't even know that.
I know. We skip that. I'm in California. California. I'm in Southern California. Yeah.
But you're willing to fly.
Yes, I am willing to travel. Absolutely.
All right. That's great. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to like and subscribe and share it. And remember, it's
not all love and light.